Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Oh, yes. What about Rex's book? Okay, those of you that ordered Rex's book, they'll be coming in next week and they'll be available. Okay? John chapter 14. Now, you know that I started the week before, the first week of the year, our series on 2020 for 2020. And today, I'm going to call this part two of the first message, which was 2 weeks ago. It's called Under the Influence. If you were not with us, you need to get that. But then last week, Rex, who just how many of you like Rex? And he hit it out of the park, man. He hit it out of the park. What a sweet brother in the Lord. Matter of fact, some pretty incredible things. Somebody who had, you know, I forget the testimonies. Who was it? Susan, do you remember? There were three. Oh, somebody with an ankle. Where's the ankle? There's the ankle. Had surgery in the ankle. Bang, how's your ankle doing? Doing great. There you go. Who was it? Where's Kim? Kim back there, one of our head ushers, she's back there. She has not been able to sleep at night. And Rex, in the middle of it, stopped and said, somebody's having a hard time sleeping. She got a hold of me a couple of days ago, and she said, 3 nights in a row, I have slept like a baby. And it just goes on. It just goes on and on because God loves people and he wants to do things for us. If we can just learn to believe him that he does love us, he does care about us, and he does want to do things for us. How many of you believe signs and wonders still happen today? They do. They happen between Susan and I. She signs and I wonder. they really do happen today. So today we want to talk about under the influence. Now, I'm going to do this. You know how you keep your mind clean?
Change it often.
Okay, I'm going to go to Jeremiah 15. Meady, if you can come with me, Jeremiah 15. And I want to read a verse to you. It just keeps jumping out of my mind. 15:19. I wrote it down earlier. 15:19. Listen to what he says. It's in the King James. Come on, Robert. 18. Do you have 19? Okay. This is how the Lord responds. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. How many of you want to continue? How many of you need restoration? You get beat up sometimes? Watch this. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. You must influence them. Everybody say influence. Influence them. Do not let them influence you. So that's a key verse for this series about being and living under the influence. And living under the influence of the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus made that very clear. He said, I've come to redeem you, ransom you, make you worthy, and then available and accessible to the person of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, you've heard me say this for decades. If you have not read those verses, you need to read them. Start chapter 13 and go all the way through 17. Those are core verses, elemental chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. The Old Testament flows into those verses into the New Testament. The New Testament looks back through those verses into the Old Testament because the Old Testament is not set aside. It is fulfilled in the New Testament. So what took place in the Old Testament and was taught and said in the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament, but it comes through chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. It is the core element. It is the critical mass of everything that we want to do and everything that we want to believe. So Jesus lived his life under the influence of the person of the Holy Spirit. And he said to you, I want to give you, he said to each of us, I want to give you the influence I lived under, because I want you to live under the same influence. I so appreciate it. I didn't know they were going to sing that song today. The last song, Holy, Holy, Holy. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity. The God we understand is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That it was the Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus. It was the Father that sent Jesus. It was Jesus that said, I'll go. And they worked together as a team in the person of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 12, listen to what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works, everybody say works. Now watch what he says. Let me pick it up in here. The works that I do, you will do also. Whoa, time. Wait a minute. He didn't really mean that, did he? He didn't mean that, did he?
Yes.
Come on, everybody say yes.
Yes.
He meant it.
Yes.
He said, the works that I do, you'll do also. Now watch this video again. Most assuredly. You know what most assuredly means? Pay attention.
Yeah.
I say to you, say, I'm a you.
I'm a
this is personal to you. It's written to you. It's written to Bob. He who believes on me, the works that I do, he will do also. So in other words, that's the qualifier for the works. The qualifier for doing what he did is to believe in him. If you believe in him, if you've received him, he expects you to pay attention. Okay? Say, I got it. The works I do, he'll do also, and greater works. Oh, time, wait a minute. Greater works? How much greater can you get from raising yourself from the dead? Come on. So listen to what he says, greater. What does he mean, greater in quality? No. You can't do anything greater than he did. It's quantity. Put it in reference. He says, the works that I did, you're going to do greater in quantity. So don't diminish it and say it's going to be less than what he did, because he said, you're going to do what I did. Come on, did you get that? In other words, don't dumb it down to something that's going to be easy. That's what we want to do. We want to make it easy. You have a cold? Well, let me pray for you. You have cancer? Let me go get somebody. Right? I'm just talking to all of us. Okay, now watch. So he says, greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. So in other words, he says, I'm going to the Father. I'm leaving you to do what I did. And I'm going to the Father, and I'm not going to do what I did. I'm telling you to do it. So don't look to me to do it and say, why didn't Jesus do it? If it didn't get done, you didn't do it. I don't know about you, but we could say amen right here, okay? In other words, I don't know about you, but all I'm trying to do is I want to meet his expectations, not mine. I want to do what he wanted me to do. Are you telling me that we should believe that we would do the things he did? He just said that. Oh, gosh. Okay, verse 13. And whatsoever you ask, that means desire and inquire. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. Lord, I want a Porsche. He never asked for a Porsche. You want to ask for a Porsche? You can't afford the insurance for it anyway. Okay? Nonetheless, you want to ask, but that's not what he's talking about. Now, I'm not saying you want to drive something great, you want to live in something great. That's fine. You can do that. I'm not opposed to that. But let's read this in context. Now listen to what he says. He says, he will do because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. Okay, now watch. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Remember, he's talking about what he did. Are you with me? So in other words, if he did it, you can pray for the woman with an issue of blood. You can pray for the blind man. And you can, but you don't have to spit in the dirt and make clay. I mean, not saying you shouldn't, but in other words, I mean, I have a hard time praying for somebody and going, okay? But the point is you can do just what he did. Okay, now watch. Verse 15, media. If you love me, watch this. Here's the condition. Watch this. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Okay, watch this. That he may abide with you for a while. When you're in the mood. When you're prayed up. When you're ready. In church. When? Wow, you got it. In other words, there's no limit to this. There's no limit to what we can pray for. Say, what if it doesn't happen? You're not listening. I get in the same situation. I mean, I walk into hospital rooms, I show up in the scene of an accident and see a situation, whatever the case is, and I can't do this, you know, but then you got to put you aside and remember what he said here. Now watch, here's the key. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. So the one who helped him, he said, I'm going to give you so you can do what I did because he's the one that did it through me, and now he'll do it through you. Did you get that? Did you get that? Watch. Okay. That he may abide with you part of the time. All the time. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. Now, the word see means to recognize. To recognize his presence. To recognize and be aware. How do you recognize something? You first know it. And when you know it, you go, oh, I recognize that. When you see something for the first time, you can't recognize it. You've never seen it before. To recognize it is to reconnoiter, to see it again. See? So watch what he says. The helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, neither knows him because you see him and him not... It neither sees him nor knows him, but you shall know him and he shall dwell with you. In other words, he's right there with you. No matter where you go, he's with you. You can't go any place that he's not there anyway. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. Verse 3, and the Spirit of God brooded over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit has been on earth, brooding over the earth from the beginning. He's never, ever not been here. He's never, ever not been here. The Holy Spirit moved through the Old Testament and in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit moved in and through the New Testament. And the Holy Spirit moves in and through us today. It's the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that authored and flowed through the Old Testament, came and flowed in and through, and Jesus got baptized in. When John the Baptist baptized Jesus in water, remember it says that Jesus was baptized in water, and when he came up, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. Now, why like a dove? I don't know. It's a good sign. It's a peaceful sign. But don't limit the Holy Spirit to an image. Because he's imageless. But he's full of life. Can I watch what he says? But you know him, for he shall dwell with you. Here it comes. And he shall be in you. Everybody say in you. So in other words, he's going to be out on the outside. He's going to be on the inside. Now he's going to be on the outside way bigger than he is on the inside until we start cooperating with him on the inside. And when we cooperate with him on the inside, we connect with him on the outside. And that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, we're walking in cooperation with him. It was the Holy Spirit that authored the scriptures. Jesus didn't utter a single word that was uttered without the presence of the Holy Spirit empowering those words. Every miracle Jesus did, he did in the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, come with me, media. A little while longer, and the world sees me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And at that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. Watch this. He that has my commandments and keeps them. There's the condition we started out with right at the top verse. If you love me, he says, you keep my word. And if you obey my word and keep my word, then that means you do love me. And then he says, who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto them. In other words, he says, I'm going to reveal myself to you. Now, that can mean, let me say this, that can mean he could actually appear. He could actually show up. I used to have a friend that was not a real close acquaintance, but he was a friend. His name was Phil, and he was a psychologist. And he was so contrary to the scriptures and the word of God. He was just so contrary. And then he got saved, and then he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he went nuts. It just went crazy. He said, well, I got to unlearn everything I learned, okay? I told him, I said, Phil, how can I get that? He said, I don't know how I got it. One day he was laying in bed, and he was depressed, and he just said, Jesus, I just need your presence. I just need your presence. And he said, I was laying in bed, and Bob, at the side of the bed indented. And he said, I could see a figure, not in the physical. I could see a figure. And the only thing I could really recognize was a smile. And he said, I got so scared. I felt so bad. I felt so evil. I felt so wrong. I said, all my sin was exposed. And he said, I felt so loved, but I felt so bad. How do you feel loved like that, feel bad like that? And he just finally said, I can't take this, Jesus. I can't take it anymore. And Jesus just patted him on the thigh and said, it's okay, Phil. Next time I come back, I can stay longer. People go, oh, yeah, he imagined that. No, man, that was a person of the Holy Spirit sat on the edge of the bed. Yeah, was it Jesus? Was it Jesus in the figure? All I know is it changed Phil's life. Amen. It turned a psychologist into a Holy Ghost preacher. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with psychology. That's not what I'm saying. So if you're a psychologist, that doesn't mean you're whacked up. Okay. But if you understand this, so what's so clear here? So 5 points. Going to do them real quick. 5 points. Number one, most assuredly. Say most assuredly. It belongs to you. That's yours. You take it. Number two, it's to you personally. What we just read is to you personally. If you go back and you read that, you sit down, you get yourself a cup of coffee, you get in the swing in the backyard, or you get in your closet, or wherever you go, you sit in your car someplace in Ramona Bowl like I do, and just sit and start reading scriptures, and you read that. Read those set of verses, and remember they're to you. To you personally. He's talking, if there was nobody else on the planet, it's to you. Shut everybody else out and just hear what he's saying. Number three, he who believes in him. If you believe in him, then do you believe in the person of the Holy Spirit that he followed? Number four, the works. He said the works. The word works there. He said the works that I do, you're going to do in greater. And the word is ergon. It means to, in the Greek, it means deeds, labor, and struggle. Jesus said, you're going to struggle the way I struggled. Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. Wait a minute. Don't even try to tell me Jesus was struggling. If he didn't struggle the way you and I struggle, he faked it. Because the Bible says he was fully God and fully man. And it says that he dealt with every issue as a human being that you and I have to deal with, but he dealt with it successfully. So it doesn't mean he didn't struggle. Now, I know we have this image, and the theologians are going to take me apart, but that's okay. I don't think Jesus walked up to every miracle and said, well, I got this one. You don't think so? Why didn't he heal everybody? He was following the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. And he didn't lay hands on every issue of blood, every blind person. It says that thousands were healed. As a matter of fact, at the end of one of the Gospels, I forget which one, it says, if books were written that recorded the things that he did while he was here in his lifetime, the world couldn't contain the books. But what we know is he says, five will do. And in other words, you're going to do it. I'm expecting you to do this. Six, greater works. That's quantity. In other words, we're going to reach out and we're going to touch people. And we're going to, he only had 3 years. What's my excuse? Okay. Seven, it says the church. It's talking about feminine and masculine. Let's talk to this issue of women in ministry right now. Oh, Susan goes, hit it, Beckett. And when Jesus said the works that you'll do, that's a feminine and a masculine term. Okay? Susan says this all the time. I love it. I don't know where she got it. She stole it from somebody, I'm sure. Okay. She says, women can do anything men can do. Okay? Who knows who Ginger Rogers is? Some of the younger ones. She was a famous dancer. She danced with Fred Astaire, okay? And Susan always says, Ginger Rogers did everything Fred Astaire did. She just did it backwards and in high heels. And all the, no, never mind, okay. Leave myself alone here. So, Jesus makes it clear. John 15:30 says, I can of myself do nothing. Watch this. Listen to the words of Jesus. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. Listen, if Jesus did what he did and he said he couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit, why aren't we seeking that? Why is it that we take the Holy Spirit and the move of the Holy Spirit and we put him in a back room so he doesn't scare anybody? Because we're afraid if something happens in church that we're going to scare people away. But you know what? I'm more concerned that we scare people in, not out. That people find out that we're not going to box the Holy Spirit up and tell him, you can't do what you want to do. Does that make sense? But you can say that about church. But what about you? In other words, oh, Holy Spirit, you can do whatever you want to do. Just don't mess with me at work. Okay? And so we understand that Jesus goes on to say this, John 8:28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, that's Jesus, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. He says, I partnered with the person of the Holy Spirit. And he wants you and I together as a team. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit as he was filled with the Spirit. When he was baptized in water, the Holy Spirit came upon him and in him. Go read it. He was filled with the Spirit. And so to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, we're going to have to do that in a person of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to have to give him opportunity. Because life in this life is spirit primary. Your life and my life, even though we live it in the physical, with all the physical issues of life and all the dealings of life, your life primarily is spiritual. Amen. And yet much of the church, many believers, will live their lives without yielding to the fullness of the Spirit in their life because they're afraid of getting out of control. And I understand that. Please, believe me, I understand what you're talking. You're looking at a control freak. But at some point, you have to say, I am ready to let you do whatever it is you want to do. Just let me do what he did, because he told me to do what he did, and that means I want you to come into me and fill me with power so I can do what he did to people around me. And I want to move in freedom and in power. And I want to be filled with the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. What's he talking about? That's the physical. Listen to what he says. While we look not at the things, take aim now. We don't aim at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's a spirit primary life. That's a life that is lived in the natural, but allows the person of the Holy Spirit to move through you and touch other people's lives. And, you know, you come to a place of full surrender that you say, Lord, do whatever you need to do through me. Do whatever you need to do through me. It becomes a life where you become selfless to the surrender of the person of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, man, I just don't know if I can do that. No, you can do it. You have to make a choice. Is it a mandate? Does God love you if you don't? Does God love you if you've not been baptized in the Holy Ghost? You better say yes, some of you. Okay? So listen to what I'm saying. You think, I'm not trying to be a smart guy. I'm just trying to show you. I'm telling you, if I didn't believe this, I wouldn't be telling you, because I'm going to stand before God one day and I'm going to answer for every word that I preached. And so is every other pastor. I'm going to be held for what I say. So if I'm being a smart aleck, then forgive me. But I'm telling you the truth. Now listen to what he says. He says, 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, when we speak life to someone, or we encourage someone, we give hope to someone, when we lay hands on someone, you meet somebody at the water cooler at work or at the lunchroom, and you speak life to them, and you speak hope, and you see they're bummed out, and you go to them when nobody else, or when they're the real pain and nobody else wants to be a part, you go over there and you minister to them. That's when you're doing the kingdom. That's church. This is not church. This is church, but this is not church. This is church. Take that off the CD. Okay. So we understand this, that Luke 3:6, can you take a little bit more?
Yeah.
That's good. Luke 3:16. Jesus answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize with you, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loosen. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will. Now, I got a couple more minutes, so it's got to be an infusion. If you've ever been in a cancer ward at a hospital, I have, as you know, Susan's first issue of cancer that she beat, by the way. And even though she's dealing with another issue right now, a different issue, completely separate cancer. This is a completely separate cancer. We're going to beat it just like we beat the other one. Right, baby? We're going to beat this. Her doctor, which is a world-renowned urologist, I'm telling you, travels the world. I mean, even he said, I don't understand your chemistry. I don't know. Where did that other cancer go? The whole oncology board at UCSD looked at her original case and said, we don't know where it went. And we keep telling them, we know. Went back to hell where it came from, okay? I am so off course. Where was I hit? Oh, infusion. So infusion. Now, in the original, and some of you know this because you've been in cancer wards, infusion, when they have to do a continuous chemotherapy, rather than IVing, you know, week after week after week after week and your veins collapsing, that they put a port in. And a port is an opening right here that has a tube that goes direct to your heart. And so when they infuse them with the chemotherapy, they inject it into the port. And it goes straight to the heart. You have a port. And it's Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, man, he wants to infuse you in that way. And he wants to do something incredible in you now. Now, I want to do one last thing. Because I said all that to get to John. Media, go to John 14. I mean, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, you're going to want to go there. Because I'm going to deal with this issue this morning. And listen, I want you to understand. Let's talk about the greatest controversy about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that is the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is still real for today. Jesus made it clear. And the Apostle Paul spoke about tongues in his letter to the Corinthians. Now, you might say, well, you know, I don't know that I want that. Okay. Let's just get you to ask for the Holy Ghost. And let him decide what happens after that. Okay? Can we do that? In other words, you just ask for the power of the Holy Spirit. And don't tell him, but I don't want the tongues. Because if you say that, you really don't want it. After you read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says this, and he answers the Corinthian church about the baptism of the Spirit. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you prophesy. Now, what is prophecy? Prophecy is when you encourage somebody and you love on somebody. So watch what it is. Matter of fact, if you call up a friend and you go, hey, friend, this is what I think God's saying, and it might be saying, and I don't know why, I just got this feeling, I've just been praying for you, and this is what I'm thinking, that's a prophecy. You're prophesying to someone. Yeah, it's encouraging. But watch what he says. Verse 2. For he that speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Okay, got it? So in other words, when a person is praying in a heavenly prayer language, like it did on the day of Pentecost, and if you read chapter 2, everybody that got baptized in the Holy Ghost prayed in a heavenly prayer language. Now watch. He that speaks does not speak unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So in other words, when a person is praying in a heavenly prayer language, it's the Holy Spirit praying through you. Now, what? This is important. Why? What's the point? Watch what he says, verse 3. But he that prophesies speaks to edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So in other words, he says, when someone prophesies, they are edifying, exhorting, and comforting someone. So in other words, when you prophesy or you call a friend and you're encouraging them or you tell them, I think this is what the Lord's saying and I want to pray for you, that's a prophecy. Don't put prophecy in a zone where it has to be something's going to happen in March of 2020. Everybody wants to put prophecy, New Testament prophecy, in a prediction of the future. It can, but I want you to listen to the reason. Okay, prophecy. He says, speaks in a tongue, does not speak to men, but unto God, for no man understands him. In other words, you're praying to the Lord. You're speaking back to the Lord. Now, let's just go on here. Okay. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. What are the mysteries? Okay, that's the things you don't know that God knows that he wants to tell somebody. That's the thing God knows that you and I don't know that he wants to tell someone else. That's a mystery. You got it? Don't go to sleep on me now. Watch this. Okay, now watch. But he who prophesies speaks to edification, exhortation, and comfort of men. So in other words, prophecy edifies, exhorts, and comforts. Edifies, builds somebody else, builds somebody up, comforts them, exhorts them, drives them deeper into the purpose of God. That's what prophecy does. Got it? Okay, so in other words, when someone prophesies, sometimes preaching is prophecy. A lot of times preaching is prophetic because it's edifying, exhorting, and comforting. Got it? Okay, verse 4. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies who? Everybody say himself. When have you been bummed out? And you needed somebody to give you a good word. And there ain't nobody got a good word around. Come on. How about 3 a.m. in the morning? And you don't know what to do. Now watch what he says. But he that prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, verse 4. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. In other words, you get all three of those when you pray in a heavenly prayer language, edifying yourself. He that speaks in an unknown edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I wish, now watch what happens. Stay with me now. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. Now listen to what Paul says. There's a catch in it. All translations in the Bible miss a key statement here. He says, when you are prophesying, you're edifying, you're comforting, and you're encouraging other people. You're causing them to get strong. Build them up and encourage them. But when nobody else is around encouraging you, you have the opportunity to pray in your heavenly prayer language and edify, exhort, and comfort yourself. In other words, you actually get an interpretation of what you're praying. And what you do is you pray in a heavenly prayer language and you listen to what you're praying. So in other words, you're praying in your heavenly prayer language and you're listening to your mind. Now, if you're praying in your heavenly prayer language and you're thinking about pizza, you're hungry. That's not a prophecy. Okay? Are you with me? But you're with a worker, you're with somebody, a neighbor or somebody, and you don't know what to do. I can't tell you how many times I come up to a crisis situation, a circumstance, and I go, I don't know what to do. And I just begin to pray. Listen to my mind. Listen to my mind. And it's like, go do this. Does it make sense? It's not weird. It's not spiritual. You go back and you find out the New Testament church, everybody did this. It's the modern church that it's all been confined to a select group of people that everybody else thinks is crazy. And if crazy is a qualifier, I'm going nuts. Okay? Now listen to what he says. But he goes on and he says, I would that you would all speak in tongues. In the King James, it uses the term rather that. Those two Greek words right there form in the Greek language, what is called a hemiclause. And a hemiclause is when two words are put together and they mean something entirely different. And that's a hemiclause, and it actually says, I would that you'd all speak in tongues so you can prophesy. I know people say, well, I want to prophesy. Well, let me ask you a question. You want to build everybody else up, but can you build yourself up? Or do you always have to have somebody else give you a good word to get a good word from God? Oh, you're getting quiet. I don't know about you, but anybody who doesn't want that gift, the ability to encourage yourself, I remember when I first got saved. Man, when I first accepted Jesus, it was crazy. It was a nuts time. You know, coming out of the hippie movement, you know, and peace, love, and puka shells, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I was with Tom and Linda, Tom West and Linda West, and Tom actually took over for Lonnie Frisbee when Lonnie left Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa in the middle of the Charismatic Revival. And we used to sit in their living room, and we had, you know how we hippies always had, some of you old enough remember those big tables that were cut out of a tree trunk? You know, they're all, you know, you shine them all up, polish them, all that. Well, we'd sit down, and this is, we didn't know what else to do. You know, we were just young in this. And we get a glass of water. And we get a timer, egg timer. Set it for an hour. And set it on the table, and then we'd all sit on the floor, and we'd pray in the Spirit for an hour. What was the glass of water for? In case you ran out of spit. Okay? I never did. But I'm telling you, you build yourself up. Because while we learned at that point to learn to pray in the Spirit when you're in a critical situation and nobody knows about it. Because you don't have to move your lips. I'll do it right now. And you listen. Or you pray with your mouth. And you listen. Because your heart is to edify people. Your heart is to be a vessel. That when you're in a situation and you don't know what to do and you're a crisis circumstance, you got a sick baby. I remember Suzanne, when, how old was she when I was in the living room yelling at God? I mean, she's stiff. She's vibrating with fever. The doctors have done everything. Both ears are infected and just, I'm yelling, God, when are you going to do something? I hear this little voice saying, I'm waiting on you. I just began to pray in the spirit. And I'll never forget, as much pain as she was in, she was hot with fever. She's making me sweat. She was hot. And just, I don't know how old she was. About 4 or 5 years old. And I'm just holding her. And I'm just praying in the spirit. And a peace came over both of us. And she just relaxed. And she settled in. Now, she didn't get totally healed right there. But how many times you find yourself in a situation with somebody at work and you know they're going through something and you don't know what to say to them? You're not smart enough to figure out what to say, and neither am I. And you're afraid you're going to say something stupid and then you're going to get yourself in trouble. You know, they're going through a marital problem. They may have caught their spouse with somebody else, or they're in a work-related situation and you don't know what to do. That's the time to just stop. Just stop. Pray. And listen. And listen to words. And don't be afraid when you hear those words. You might hear simple words like, just go tell them that God loves them. Oh, well, I could have figured that out. Okay. No, but am I making sense to you? In other words, it becomes something that's real and relevant to your daily life. And that's what the New Testament church did. That's how they lived their life. They didn't have an LED screen. They didn't have an iPhone or an Android. What they had was a Holy Ghost. And they could hear his voice. It sounded like them. But he moved through them. And people's lives were changed. People's lives were touched. People were empowered. Now, this is the important part. And I'll finish with this. It won't make your life any easier. Won't do it. Because I hear people say, well, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and life got more difficult. Welcome to the train ride. Because when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you become a weapon that the enemy does not know how to deal with. I want to tell you, you're in a situation, you've got somebody in front of you that's manifesting and they have a demon. I mean, we're not talking about somebody who's having a fit. I'm talking about a full-blown demonic manifestation. If you ain't praying in tongues, you better start. Okay? But you know what? It takes that. It's you learn to just pray and seek God and seek the presence. Now in your devotional time, you're not just sitting someplace in a room and just reading verses out of the Bible. Because you got to know the author of the words in the book. So, well, that's Jesus. Now, well, it's Jesus. Yes, he's the Word, but it's the Holy Ghost that authored it. And when you learn to sit down and pray and you get filled with the Spirit, you say, well, what do I have to do to get this? Just ask. That's all you have to do is ask. I'm going to close the service here in just a few minutes because I'm almost out of time. But I want you to understand, you can have this. It's a free gift. Jesus paid for it with his life so that you would know this. That's why we keep saying to you, we are not going to shove the Holy Ghost moving in a service in a back room. Amen. Now, let me qualify by saying something. We're also not going into popcorn prophecy. You know what popcorn prophecy is? Yeah. Sister so-and-so on this side of the room jumps up and goes, shap-a-dap-a-doo. And sister so-and-so on this side of the room says, this is what shap-a-dap-a-doo means. If you get up in this church and you start speaking in tongues, it better be God. Because we're not going to scare everybody else off. Amen. If you can't do that in your private life, you're not going to do it in public. Does that make sense? You need to be known. You need to be filled with power. And it doesn't make you spooky. It doesn't make you weird. It just makes you more sensitive to the people's needs. And you find out you can just walk up to somebody and say, you know what? I appreciate you, brother. I just appreciate you. Oh, well. Oh, yeah. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit empowers those words, it speaks to the heart, not just to the brain. It goes into the spirit of a person. That's why Paul said, your spiritual life is primer. It's the most important part of your life. While we deal with everything Susan's dealing with in this second round, then we have some pretty serious issues ahead of us. And the issue is, and I hadn't planned on doing this. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to get away from her. So, we're going to find out whether they want to take her bladder. They want to take her bladder. She has cancer in her bladder, and they want to take her bladder so it'll save the only kidney that she has. Okay? I thank God for doctors. How many of you thank God for doctors? Well, we're going to Dr. Jesus first. And so this morning, if you have a physical need, you have an emotional need, a spiritual need, I'm going to open the altar up for you here this morning. And we want to pray for you. Pastor Susan will be around, available. I'll be around. We'll have other people up here. It's not just Bob and Susan. It's not the Bob and Susan show. It's not about us. And there are going to be other people up here to pray for you. Don't miss the opportunity to get prayer for whatever your need is. It's physical, emotional, financial, relational. God wants to work miracles. And finally, I promise, this is my, every pastor gets three closings. Okay, here's my last one. Okay, that we do it in church, so we learn to do it out there. This is a training ground. This is where you get filled up. This is where you get encouraged. And then when you go to work, go to school, I tell you, man, I can't tell you how many checkers. So many checkers, especially Stater Brothers, I go through. It's like, you can tell they can't wait. I love saying to the checkers, as a matter of fact, I got a couple checkers that look at me in line now and go, oh, he's coming. Because I always try to say, how long is your shift? When is your shift over? I've got 3 hours, whatever the case is. I said, you know, it's going to be the best 3 hours because I'm going to pray for you. And don't ask anything else. And you know, you just watch their countenance change. You watch their countenance because you're speaking life and hope to people. You know, you find somebody on the street who's living behind a dumpster. You just go sit down with them. Just go sit down with them. You don't have to prophesy and do something crazy. Just tell them. They said, I don't know what you're going through. Man, it looks like you're living a crappy life. But you know what? God has something better for you. And you know what? You're loved and you're cared for. And God loves you and he cares for you. If there's ever anything you need, and you see me walking around here, I go by here all the time, you let me know and I'd be glad. Can I pray for you right now? And you know what? Most of those folks will say yes. Go ahead, baby. Come here. Come on over here so Facebook can get it.
Testing. There we go. And you guys are my church family. I'll just tell you two things. Number one, yeah, things are hard. Things are not looking good. But, you know, I asked a lot of you, pray for plan B because this isn't looking good. Do what I have to do. My life is not my bladder. But God heals. So we go down on Thursday. We meet with this doctor. And I'm going, God, I don't know what it is. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that there's nothing that's hit you that God doesn't want to give you a way of escape. And that means in the Greek, he wants to give you the victory. So we're driving down. I'm going, I don't know what the way of escape looks like, but I don't think it's taking out my bladder. So God, give me plan B. I have no idea what that could be. So we get down there. The first doctor walked in and she said, you're not going to believe this. 2 weeks ago, they released a drug called Keytruda for bladder cancer. It's just been approved for that. Well, that's the thing I used before. So she goes, we're going to try it. We have a little window of opportunity because that cancer is sneaking up that ureter to go to that last kidney. We got to hurry up and do this. So my other doctor comes in, the surgeon who wants to take it out. I don't know. I really need to take out your your bladder, because if it goes to your kidney, you're on dialysis forever. So this is really a rock and a hard spot, I'll be honest with you. Well, the more we talked to him, he said, but your other doctor really thinks you have a shot at this. And he said, it worked before. And then he looked at us and he said, what Bob said, he goes, I don't understand your biology, because you should be dead. You should have died. I don't know why. And I go, because God injected himself in that. Amen. The Bible says, so my poor doctor, he's doing that. So although he wants to take it out, he's going to give Plan B a shot. And you know what? We are too. So pray. This is the hardest decision we've ever had to make, because it's just tough. It's tough right now. But you know what? I know God's going to give me Plan B. I just know it. So we go down Tuesday. So if you want to pray for me, that's how I need people to pray, that this is going to work. It needs to work really fast, or Plan A goes back into effect. But I know God can do this. And you know, Bob mentioned it, but the Bible says, and Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And you know, when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you want to have Holy Ghost and fire. You want to have power and anointing and know what to do this. You'll get that, because you can't do it without it. You won't make it. And you know, Chris Vallotton always used to say, you know, you can be a nominal Christian and just float down the stream like every other dead salmon. But you know what? He says this, why would the devil waste a demon on you? Think about it for a minute. If you have tribulation in this world, you're probably doing something for the kingdom. Otherwise, why would the devil waste a demon on you? He only has so many of them. He's making more of us all the time. So you know what? Get plugged in. Go for it. Win souls. Life is short. I'm telling you, life is short. We have this much time to make a big difference. Eternity is a long time there. So make this life count. Go for it.
The line is for you, and there are going to be people up here to pray for you. When you go out of here today, look for an opportunity. Listen, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, get refilled. A lot of people go, well, I had that. No, the Bible's, I wish I had time, I show you. The Bible talks about fillings and refillings. Listen, if you use it, you're going to need to get refilled. Get refilled, re-energized. We are at a crucial point in this nation. We need people that believe more than Jesus saves. Don't get me wrong. Don't go out of here, you theologians, and say, Bob doesn't believe it. That's enough. It's good that you know where you're going. But why don't you take somebody else with you? So we're going to be up here. If you need prayer for anything, we're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God for you. And what? Well, oh, yes, water baptism. And if you're going to be baptized...